-3 is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
Here's a flag as... Mason Rudolph got
Rudolph
into
needs
it.
To get out of there.
What in the world? Believe Miles Garrett? They'll be swinging
some,
a helmet?
Yeah, there'll be some ejections coming out of this.
There may be suspensions.
That's right, suspensions.
And it was Garrett. That was well after the play.
-3 with Dave Dameshek.
This one is for Miles. Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to -3. We're ready to roll here. Let's break down the upcoming weekend of football, college, pro. I don't know, maybe we'll dip our toes into the baseball waters. Muzzle tub to Yankees fans and to Aaron Judge specifically. He is now a part of history. He's also soon to be your American League MVP, whether Halos fans like it or not. And let's say hello. There he is behind the glass, Eddie Spaghetti in his usual perch, feeling good about himself. The Irish won on Saturday, and the Giants are 2-0. He might have the best pro football team at this point among the trio of people we're going to be kibitzing with here today, myself included. Let's say hello to the other guy, as always, here to represent Boston, Massachusetts. It's Kevin Hench. What's the poop, fella?
I don't think there's any doubt that Spaghetti has the best football team of this trio. You know, Giants, I've already got them slated 4-0 after Cowboys and Bears. They're
you like them over Coop and company, eh?
Yeah, I do. And of course, as I promised last week, when you said, you know what's interesting about this Patriots Steelers matchup, and I said nothing is interesting about it, and then. Sure enough, Mac Jones and Trubisky went out and proved me right. This is literally one of the most boring, you know, when you have all the games on simultaneously and you realize you haven't checked in on your own team in an hour. Like, you're literally like, oh, right, that's my team that I love. Nothing's happening. Meanwhile, the world is coming apart in all these other, like the Sunday, the orgy of awesomeness on NFL Sunday. I mean, that's why it's the best product in the world. That's why it has the highest ratings of anything. It's like you watch, you know, the end of Jets Browns, you watch the Kyler comeback, the Tua comeback. There's nothing close to it. There's nothing like it.
They always say like, that's why it's so great. I've said this before. Pro football is great because it's so unpredictable. It's the most, it's a better than any reality show because you have no idea how it's going to end because it hasn't been scripted in advance and it isn't captured and then cobbled together in post-production to tell the story, except that Dameshek had all the answers in advance, apparently, because, What a hot streak for Dameshek making the picks. We're going to give you our picks there. By the way, I went 12-1, including the college game last week. So I'll give you some NCAA picks in addition to our pro football picks upcoming here. In the meantime, let me tell you out, you have to check out all the stuff at Extra Points. Go to extrapoints.com, play against us, with us in our pick'em pool there. You can find it in the arcade. Like I say, what did I go again? 12-2? Is that what I went? But if you throw in the, or did I go 12-3, 13-2? No, I think I went 13-2. But then I also got the Thursday night game, the Chargers and Chiefs.
Although I will say, although you get credited for the Thursday night game because it's on the record, you said Chargers to win outright. Spaghetti said Chiefs to cover. Only one of us took the most unlikely result, which was Chargers to lose and beat the spread.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I forgot we did that last week. I was going to say, let's leave the Thursday night game till last in case people are listening to this on Friday, and then we might embarrass ourselves by making proclamations about what's going to happen in Cleveland or did happen in Cleveland. But, yes, since we did it last week, do you want to do it again? Do you want to jump into the time machine and jump to Friday morning?
Well, let's definitely do it, but let's not start with it because I think when we start talking Brown Steelers, that's when people change the station. Let's
oh, well, I do want to hear your thoughts. I do want to get your thoughts on the state of the Patriots here. Very quickly, though, we had a grand time on Tuesday night. Episode 2 of Mr. Lister, available on Spotify Live. We got Scott Pianowski. It's our list-based sports trivia game that Hench and I and Sal have played together for 20-some years, legitimately. Just some nerds gathered around listing off Cy Young winners from the 80s back and forth with each other until we run out of answers, so on and so forth. We had Scott Pianowski from Yahoo representing Boston, and we had Tim Benz representing Pittsburgh, PA, going head-to-head. And I was, you know, I like my sports trivia. I think I'm pretty good at doing the listing back and forth. But man, these were two ringers. This was a clash of the titans. So we'll have that audio for you. Follow on social media at Damashek. We'll tweet out the results of that one if you want to sit through some sports trivia. It really was compelling stuff if you enjoy that sort of thing.
You need to have one list. You got to have a shot, like top, you know, 10 shot blockers from an era where Alton Lister is in the top 10 so that Mr. Lister can include Mr. Lister. Milwaukee Bucks legend.
That's really threading the needle. You're absolutely right about that. Before we jump in to all that's going on, and there is plenty to kibitz about, I can't help it. I want to promote Mr. Lister, and I also want to see if Kevin Hench, who is perhaps the ringer of all ringers when it comes to sports trivia, although I got to tell you, Scott Pianowski represented himself very well. I want to see if you can do what he did last night. One of the categories, Hench, was, because it was Pittsburgh versus Boston, we did Pirates and Red Sox, whose numbers have been retired by their respective teams. Can you name the Red Sox players who had their jersey number retired?
Well, I certainly can name the ones that are displayed on the facade. So you have...
Well, wouldn't that be all?
There'll be a quirky one, like that guy died young, you know, like Harry Aganis. Yeah. But I, you know, so Bobby Doerr, Joe Cronin, Carl Yastrzemski, yes. Jim Rice, David Ortiz, and Carlton Fisk.
Okay, well done. You got those are all correct answers, but there are still a few more on the board.
On the board. Okay. Well, Pedro.
Correct.
All right. I guess Rocket. Although it
no, but the no, he's not retired, which I was just about to say. There's a controversial one, I imagine, for Red Sox fans to see his name listed in red when, of course, maybe his greatest moment happened in another uniform that you really don't like? Number 26. It's, not it's huh? The chicken eater, Wade Boggs. Oh.
Okay, that's legit. I mean, although you could argue that his greatest moment happened in Tampa. How nuts is it that a guy who was, I mean, Boston fans, this speaks to the crazy pathology of Boston fans. Now that we understand analytics, like Wade Boggs was so much better than anybody understood. He gets 200 hits and 100 walks every year. And of course, Boston fans are like, why doesn't this guy hit for power? Like they're pissed. They're pissed, right? Boggs was incredible. But the one
you missed was, I'm going to give you a clue here. That should reveal it pretty easily. He connects with Carlton Fisk in a special way in Red Sox lore, in baseball lore, really. His name resonates for a special moment in Red Sox history.
All right, well, let me...
With Carlton Fisk. What's Carlton Fisk's greatest moment?
My Wade Boggs point, which is that after all that bitching about not hitting home runs, he becomes the first guy to get his 3,000th hit on a home run.
That was backwards, which is why he crossed the plate backwards, right?
It's so insane. All right, so Fisk hits the winning home run in game six of the 75 series. Dwight Evans?
No, I was going for Johnny Pesky, aka Pesky Pole. That's what Fisk hits, right? It hits literally.
The Pesky Pole is the right field line.
I don't give a good damn about your history. I'm a Buccos guy, and that means I don't pay attention to baseball.
But it's insane that Dwight Evans' number has not been retired. That guy should be in the Hall of Fame. He actually he's like statistically comparable to Jim Rice offensively. And he wins 7 gold gloves in the most difficult right field in Major League Baseball. But anyway, you got the best right fielder of all time defensively in Pittsburgh, obviously. 21, right, for Clemente, number 21?
Correct.
Let's talk football before we alienate more listeners.
Why? That was repellent? Eddie Spaghetti, that was no good to talk about that?
It's September. I don't know. I mean,
Aaron Judge just hit a historic home run where we shouldn't acknowledge baseball at all because it's a Yankee.
I never heard of him.
Fine, but the craziest thing is that you thought like the green monster is the left field wall. How do you like mistake that? Where would the pesky pole
I'm talking
be
about the pole.
I know.
I'm talking about the pole.
Why would the pole be the
pole? Is the right field line?
Yeah, because it's the weird. It curves into the stands. But so why would the pesky pole be next to the green monster?
All right.
Because what do I give a good goddamn? That's my answer to the both of you.
Maybe I'm crazy.
All right. Stargell has to have his number retired. Paul Wehner has to have his number retired.
Oh, look who's doing the Buccos now. There he goes. See, this is the hench I know.
Pie Trainer.
Pie Trainer. I don't remember if he's listed
base,
or not.
I don't know. Did the Flying Dutchman
Pie Trainer
play
is on
long
there,
enough?
Number 20.
Yep, he is on right. there. Right.
Did the Flying Dutchman play long enough to actually wear numbers? Honus Wagner.
It is. That's a correct answer. You got Pie Trainer, Paul Wehner, Mazeroski, of course, the greatest home run in World Series history. You got Pops, Ralph Kiner's on there.
How about the Cobra? Probably not, right?
No, because of, the whole parrot business. But I mean.
If you're doing that on cocaine, I feel like that should help your case for why my number should be retired.
Why that guy's not in the Hall of Fame makes me sick, but we haven't the time to indulge that right now. We have football to discuss, and we have to get to our goat and goat of the week. We launched our brand new hot segment last week. We're going to do that again. Hey, let me squeeze in a quick break here and tell you about that Caesar, Cleo, the Mannings, Henrik Lundqvist, and now yours truly, yes, -3 is now a proud member of the Caesars Empire. And you know what it is that sets Caesars Sportsbook and Casino apart from all the others? It's the perks. This is the only sports betting app with Caesars rewards. So every time you place a bet, win or lose, you get reward credits, which you can use towards game tickets, bonuses, experiences, free stays at iconic Caesars destinations, and more. And your very first bet, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. So download the app, use promo code CZRFULL, Caesar Full, and go full Caesar this season. Oh, and Caesar Sportsbook and Casino plays by the rules. They comply with all the legalities of the sports betting world. So here comes the lengthy, unabridged national responsible gaming disclaimer. 21 and older, 19 and older in Ontario, must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario and Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, PA. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or Maryland. Visit mdgamblinghelp.org, or in West Virginia, call 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. In Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. In Louisiana, call 1-877-4700. 770-STOP in Michigan. 1-800-270-7117, New York, 877-HOPENY, Ontario. You can visit CONNEXOOntario.ca. And in Tennessee, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But I do want to ask you, Hench, and maybe this will be one of your goats here. The Patriots won the game. Must win is a silly thing to say in week two. But I really feel like that the Patriots are in line to lose their next two. I do not think them, spoiler alert, I'm going to pick the Ravens when we make our picks here in just a bit. But my big takeaway from that was Mac Jones, man. I have legit concerns. I don't care where he got drafted. I don't care if Kyle Shanahan thought he could make him a winner at number three in the draft last year. Does he have a big league arm?
Do you ever, you know how, when back in the day, but pre knee surgeries, when, you know, we would get out there and play football, we're going to play some tag football, you know, like, and no matter if this started when you were a little kid, it progressed as long as you were willing to go out there and play some two-hand touch. Like, there's always a kid or a young adult or an old adult who wants to take his turn at quarterback because he feels entitled, like it's a rotation. And you're like, Billy, you don't have the arm. You can't, you shouldn't, this is going to be embarrassing for you. Like, there's no pattern your guy can run. Like, he'll never be open. Your arm's so you can't throw him open. I can cover this guy for 45 seconds with your arm strength before you'll ever get the ball to him. And Mac Jones's arm, is it getting worse? Like, it's weird to watch Brady, who came in with the questionable arm, who now just flushes those post patterns like with zip and velocity. And then the crazy thing about Mac Jones, so week one, Patriots march down the field in their opening drive. Then he throws a floater, which describes, I feel like, all his passes. He throws a floater down the right sideline toward the end zone that gets tipped and intercepted in the end zone and ends the Patriots' only real, like, legitimate long drive of the day. Against the Steelers, he throws the exact same floater into the exact same traffic, and Aguilar wins the 50-50 jump ball for the game, you know, what becomes the game-winning touchdown. And it's like, this is not a vindication of your quarterback. This is like, hey, this is his play, jump ball. Like, what? No. So I obviously share your concerns. I said under 8.5 at the beginning, you know, before we launched the season. Nothing I've seen. In fact, after Sunday, I feel good about both my bets. Patriots under 8.5, Steelers under 7.5. I feel like are both gonna come in. So I share. I know your concern is not real concern because you're delighted that the Patriots stink and then Mac Jones is probably not an NFL quarterback.
I don't think I used the word concern, but yeah, that definitely was my big takeaway. I mean, when I wasn't worrying about the state of the Steelers, and by the way, everybody in Pittsburgh begging for Kenny Pickett to get in there. The problem with that is in the short term, careful what you wish for, because if you see Kenny Pickett on Thursday night, or if you see him running out onto the field against the Jets for week 4, that means that Mitchell Trubisky stunk on Thursday night football Ergo, the Steelers are now 1-2. That's not good either, Steelers fans. So I don't know how to make sense of that. But yes, it is funny that the 50-50 ball to Nelson Agholor, which, you know, Witherspoon kind of misplays, and he, in hindsight, should have says he should have picked it off or at least broken it up. If you take that away and start getting into that kind of business, things will get murky quick for you if you start what-ifing individual plays like that. But that's it. They're 0-2, and they're a real train wreck. And by the way, if Cam Sutton could catch, Mac Jones laid one right in his lap, the game probably turns out a little bit differently.
I did think it was nice of Gunnar Olszewski to give us one for old time's sake.
I know.
By the way, we were not fans of that guy. So enjoy.
Really? You weren't? Why?
I don't know. It just felt like he wasn't very good at the limited things we asked him to do.
He was an all pro. He seems like a New England Patriot 21st century through and through. The flaxen hair, undersized.
There's a reason he's not on the team.
Yeah, well, I guess that should be the reason.
You got a good look at it. It's very hard to catch the ball with your face mask.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so let's get into it. This is a good place to start because now I'm starting to feel visceral frustration because of my pro football team. So you start us off, Kevin Hench. It's time for GOAT and GOAT of the Week. Take it away.
Okay, so to make life easy on my diminishing mental capacity, I went for the same – for GOAT from the same team. Hard to do, right? Because obviously that team won or lost. So my good GOAT, my greatest of all time GOAT, Kyler Murray, just an unbelievable, pure Kyler result, impossible. And how did it come about? Because he, just started doing the Kyler Murray thing where he goes, hey, everybody go out and get open or don't get open. Either get open or don't get open. It doesn't really matter because I'm going to just run around and make something happen. Now,
like a video game, really, like doubling back over and over again. It was silly almost.
It's so insane to watch him not be able to get tracked down and caught. Now, so my GOAT of the week is from the same game because nothing drives me more crazy than when a coach makes just does something so spectacularly stupid but wins. So no one's going to ask Cliff Kingsbury what the hell was going on. Like, so a couple things. One, he looks at that laminate like a 15-year-old boy reading a penthouse forum. Like, he never looks up from that laminate. Like, first of all, you're familiar with all these plays, right? Do you know what they are? Do you have to be reading the entire game? And then the irony is the only plays that work are total improv. So they're like, he's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. And he sends in the cadence and the trips right and the thing and the thing. And Kyler just gets in the huddle and goes, hey, guys, go out and get open or don't. I'm going to run around. Like, literally no play call working for three quarters plus. And then it's like Kyler, so he's still reading his laminate. But that's not the thing that makes Cliff Kingsbury the goat of goats. Okay. If you score, you're going to have to go for two again to force overtime. And yet, kind of a surprise, I guess, to Cliff Kingsbury. Oh, my God, I guess we got to go for two. They line up to go for two. I don't know if he's looking for a new thing on his laminate. He's reading, it's like reading it like, oh, my God, what's the tennis instructor doing in the women's locker room? Mom, don't knock on the door. I got to finish this paragraph. Like, oh, my God, Cliff Kingsbury reading. The Raiders call timeout. The Raiders call timeout, right? So however overwhelmed you are as a coach by the moment, by the situation, you've been given a reprieve by the other team calling timeout. So the one thing that we know cannot happen under any scenario is the Cardinals get a delay of game penalty. You're coming out of a Raiders timeout. Okay. How long does it take you to convey the play that you've been reading about for 3 hours to the point where you don't get the snap off in time? Like, it was – so now you've got to go for the two-point conversion from the 8. I don't know how low – like, how far do the odds drop when you move it back to the 8? And, you know, and then Kyler makes an insane throw. That throw on the 2-point conversion, I don't know how you get it over the defender and down to the back of the end zone. Now, obviously, AJ Green, he catches it with his right hand, and when he rolls over, it's in his left hand. And so we're like, okay, we can't see it, but we all know at some point it went from his right hand to his left hand. So I'm guessing it was rolling on the ground, but still an amazing throw from my GOAT of the week, Kyler Murray, bailing out my GOAT of the week, Cliff Kingsbury, with a shocking delay of game penalty at the most critical moment of the game.
It's funny because I was thinking watching that game that it was sort of like, I guess Cliff Kingsbury then is the screenwriter of a mediocre movie, and Kyler Murray is Will Ferrell or John C. Reilly elevating said script. It is a classic case with the whole study hall thing, and something that you and I probably appreciate, Hench, two people who didn't vibe very well to traditional schooling. We didn't pay attention in class or even attend class. Maybe that Kyler Murray should be our hero, our spiritual leader, right? Don't think. You can only hurt the team doing that. Just go out there and do. That's how we did, right?
Don't study game film. Just improv and free associate as the play develops. I just read that Michael Keaton improvised 90% of his lines in Beetlejuice, like 90%. And like the screenwriter, and I believe me, I've experienced this myself. Like the screenwriter's just sitting there getting credit for everything Michael Keaton, who's a genius, by the way, right. Everything he comes up with, they're like, this is a tight script. It's like, that was him. And so every week, you know, the Cliff Kingsbury countdown clock, you know, it moves back another notch because he's not going to get fired. He owes it to Mike, the Michael Keaton of quarterbacks, and just improving and saving his job for another week. But I wonder, what is he reading on that laminate? Because nothing he sends in is executed. Who's your goat?
I love it. Billy Blazejowski. You don't have to tell a Pittsburgher about the genius of that guy. Spaghetti, go ahead. Goat and goat.
My goat, lowercase goat, is football adjacent. And I was telling the Megans this on their show. But, you know, NFL Sunday Ticket, 2 weeks in a row not working. I'm stuck with the local games here in L.A. I want to watch my teams play. That's why I'm paying the large amount of money per month. And, you know, thank the Lord above that this is the last year on NFL Sunday Ticket until they switch to whatever streaming service they're going to be a part of. And everyone in NFL media was getting on their case, not being able to watch it. Another thing NFL media was getting on someone's case for, and this is my good goat, was Tua Tagovailoa in the first half of that game down, I believe it was 28-7, threw a few picks. People were already calling for Teddy Bridgewater, and for him to turn around that game and finish the way he did, 6 touchdown passes, looked like the Tua of all, the Tua we saw in Alabama, the one that took over for Jalen Hurts in the championship game at halftime, an incredible turnaround. I mean, they may be even challenging the Bills for the AFCs. I know, Sheck, you were saying the greatest show on turf with the speed in the field, that could change a lot of things. But man, oh man, for the guy that was pretty much said, like his career could be over after this game and turn around and beat a team like that, I thought was ultra impressive and makes people look at Tua, I think, a lot differently this week going forward. So he gets my good goat.
Fascinating game.
And I think I texted you guys, but like, you know, when the Dolphins released a clip from training camp and they were like, hey man, watch out, we're on to something here. But in the clip they released, Tua horribly underthrew Tyreek and he had to stop to catch the ball. And so I was like, this is actually a bad clip for you guys to release to say how rosy your future is like this missile. Our quarterback can't reach the missile was what that video said. The insane thing about the 2 touchdowns he threw to Tyreek Hill, they're both horribly underthrown. He beats his guy. How far behind your guy are you that you can come to virtually a complete stop, catch the underthrown ball, and still score a touchdown? You know, so I mean, it's yes, I agree. It's a great go to the week, but I think at some point it's going to matter that he can outrun to his arm. Maybe not.
It's funny. Well, in fact, your text inspired my goat of the week. Let me tell you, my goat of the week. It is Tyreek Hill, for exactly what you're talking about, Hench. It's remarkable stuff that in a league. And sometimes you can forget about it until you watch these sort of breakout athletes like Lamar Jackson in 2019. You see professional athletes like, what? He's just faster than what I expected. And you see the same effect still with Tyreek Hill from people who possess world-class speed, and he can still run away from them. The thing that really stood out to your point on Sunday against the Ravens was twice, Tyreek Hill has a weird specific speed-based trait, which is that he can come to an almost standstill and then resume running like Ben Johnson in the Olympics with the presumed lack of steroids running through his body. Right? I mean, like, he will be at a standstill and then at full speed again. It's inhuman what he's able to do. So he's and also shout out. I know do they still flag it when he pieces out the defenders? That's a pretty good shaming of pro level defensive backs that Tyreek Hill is so confident that from about the 30 yard line, he knows no one's going to catch him and he can hold up the deuces to him as he runs away.
It's so funny when you destroy the DBs so totally that you don't even know who got beat. Like, you know, like right. the DBs are like, I was playing quarters. I was playing third. I don't like that. Like, they have plausible deniability. He couldn't have been my man. He was 30 yards behind me.
He may not be a great human being. It certainly seems he's not. But I like it when, you know, like George Clooney or I don't know, whoever's the most handsome devil out there besides the evil John Hamm. When you see people like that, like it makes sense to me when I see the A-list a beautiful woman or model or whatever that DiCaprio's with. It's like, yeah, of course she should be with a guy like that, not a schnook like me. Tyreek Hill reminds me, like, yeah, that's why you're not in the NFL, Dave, because you can't do that. You can't run like that. So that makes sense to me.
That's the only reason.
Well, Mac Jones is the real jerk because he makes me think, like, if he's allowed in the league, then how come I'm not? That's, you know, I think it's anti-lefty stuff. That's the only explanation I can come up with.
This is sort of go ahead. Do your.
Okay, my goat of the week. I told you my goat of the week, but my goat of the week, Nebraska fans. In the pregame, Urban Meyer is there, and they start chanting, "We want Urban." Shame the devil. Where's your dignity? You're Nebraska, for goodness sakes. You're the school of Tom Osborne and Tommy Frazier and Turner Gill and Irving Fryer, and you're begging for Urban Meyer, this creepo, him and his thumb, to make the scene in Lincoln, Nebraska, and sully things? This is for directional schools in the Southeast to beg for Herbs so he can get back on his feet if he ever wants a coach again. Not Nebraska. I know it's been some down years, but come on, have some dignity, people. That's my goat of the week.
I like it. It's funny when you mention our dear friend John Hamm, who I know we both admire deeply. Now, you know, all jokes aside, did you notice? I mean, you must notice because he's your nemesis now, and obviously completely ubiquitous during NFL games. If you're trying not to think about John Hamm, good luck. Good luck, because you're going to get like 10 installments of Hammy and Flo. And then, like, there was one commercial break where the Mercedes, he came on after. So it went from John Hamm on screen to John Hamm's voice. But the other thing that's crazy, and maybe this is just a super handsome guy voice thing, it sounds like John Hamm is doing the Army Hammer voice in the House of Hammer promos. It's Army Hammer's voice, obviously, on the voicemail in the House of Hammer promos, but it also sounds like Arham, and it's House of Hammer. But this is an honorary.
It's wall to wall. It's wall to wall with this swine named Hamm. Everywhere you go, the Mercedes commercial, the voiceovers. By the way, yeah, this is the way that God or whoever makes these decisions works. He not only gives them the looks, but he also gives them a voice that's worthy of doing voiceovers. Not even looking at him, and his voice is better than mine. It stinks, I tells you. And And it does make it because everybody hits me up on social media with exactly what you just said now. Like, oh, it must really suck to watch football and all. Oh, it's all ham all the time. And yeah, it does. It makes me think of what's his name? Kid Saves the Picture, the producer.
Robert Evans.
Robert Evans, when Steve McQueen takes Ally McGraw from him and he says, losing your lady always hurts. But when you lose her to the biggest star in the world, it makes you feel small. That's what Ham did. He took my joy. He took my fantasy football team. Fantasy football's for nerds. Now, let's move on and
well,
make
hold
some
on.
Picks,
I just wanna,
shall we?
I just want to round off my asterisk honorary mention go to the week, which is the House of Hammer promos, because like, you know, as someone who's made network television for a long time, like it's always like, hey, man, you can't show someone smoking a cigarette at 9:30 at night. That's a no fly for network television. But at 10:15 a.m., you can be watching football with your son. And then Armie Hammer's talking about the ropes and the cannibalism during the promo. Like, you can't tell someone smoking a cigarette, but this guy's talking about his weird sexual predilections. You know, you've barely sat down after kickoff, and then the House of Hammer comes on. Those promos, like, they're so disturbing. And by the way, as hard as it is for you to watch football on Sundays, imagine being Armie Hammer trying to watch the game.
Yeah, Dammer and Hammer should get together and watch some pro football.
Oh, man, third and goal. Third and goal. Here we go. Oh, they're calling timeout. Okay, everybody gather. Oh, House of Hammer promo.
He might eat my left leg while we're doing it. By the way, you want to talk about weird predilections? Watch the Rick James documentary that's airing right now. Boy, that guy was a lot of fun too, or a weirdo, or both. But he did make great music. I've been listening to some Rick James of late. Boy, dynamite funk music.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's make some pro football picks, shall we? And college, if you want to. I'll start us off real quick with some college picks, but I want to ask you guys this first. Here's the discussion that me and Spaghetti have been having, Hench. Is if you're paying any attention at all, we pretend that the Final Four for college football is in play for the 130 or so college football teams out there. But in fact, you know that three of those four seats has already been consumed in the musical chairs game of college football 2022. You know Georgia, Bama, and Ohio State have already claimed three of those slots there. By the way, I think you can get those three teams against the field, the other 127, 128 teams, to win it. You can get the field at something like plus 500 against three teams, which is the greatest. But who gets that fourth slot to get their head lopped off around Christmas or New Year's by one of the aforementioned three? That's a fun bet to make right now. How say you?
I wasn't really listening, but that's okay. I'll say USC.
I think that's a good guess. I'm glad you Cliff's noticed it and got to what I think is probably the right answer given what is in front of them. Now, it could all come apart as soon as this weekend in Corvallis. That's a tough spot to go. Oregon State is no jive. USC beats them. Then they have to play at Utah in mid-October. Other than that, I don't see any chance anybody gets in their way. I think they have a real chance to run the table. Unlike Clemson, there are enough bumps in the road for Dabo and company. Boy, that Dabo, by the way, if you saw him run out onto the field in Death Valley, weirdo. Eddie Spaghetti, how say you? Who's your pick there?
I think the Clemson game this week versus Wake Forest can get interesting. I don't know if I love, I mean, USC is a good pick. I still see USC slipping up. I could see them slipping up to Utah. I don't think that, you know, I mean, Notre Dame is coming.
That's the game. That's the game. The Utah game is the game. Right.
Yeah. I mean, Cal isn't as bad as they've been years past. I know USC is home for that. I still think Notre Dame has a chance. I still think Notre Dame has a chance to beat Clemson, too. I just think their defense alone is good enough. It depends on how DJU plays this whole year. I still think an undefeated Clemson, though, and an undefeated USC, Clemson is going to get that four spot.
Well, that's an interesting proposition. I just don't think Clemson's going to run the table to make that happen. They have too many NC States upcoming. The ACC has a bunch of B-level teams, and on the other side of NC State and otherwise, they could catch Pitt, who's a legit team in the ACC championship. My best bets for this weekend, I'm going Florida plus 11, SC. Boy, this one makes me nervous, but I'm going to lay the 6.5 up in Corvallis. The Hoosiers playing exciting football, if nothing else, against Cincy. I'm going to say take the over there, 54. The Cuse minus 10, Ohio State minus 18, and Wisconsin and the Buckeyes are going to combine to go over 56. Those are my college best bets. Hench, shall we jump into some pro football picks
here?
Yeah.
Let's do it. So, as you know, very, very high on Dayball's Big Balls. And I'm riding with the Giants until they cost me money. I like them, given a tiny little number against the Cowboys. But what I really also love from this game is under 39. I mean, that Cowboys defense, I think, proved it's for real. So I think, Cooper Rush got his sentimental victory out of the way and now loses to the Giants. But it's another slog. I mean, it is so crazy and obviously sad for Trey Lance to go down like that. But When you look at how immediately better the Niners seem to be, I mean, with Garoppolo, instead of going through the growing pains, like, you know, you have an average to above average quarterback already on the roster. But when you look at that draft and look at all the guys the Niners could have added to that roster that's already Super Bowl level. And of course, if you redrafted, we all know that Micah Parsons would be – sliding up into that top three because he's a game wrecker. So I do like the Giants in that game. But
wait, how did it go? It goes Trevor Lawrence one. That's a great point. Trevor Lawrence goes one, and that would still happen. Nobody would take Micah Parsons over Trevor Lawrence, or would you even? I guess probably unlikely. Well, but
you don't take Zach Wilson over him, and you don't take
Zach
Trey
Wilson
Lawrence
too.
Over him.
Yeah. Right. Michael Parsons should be on the Jets. And if he isn't on the Jets, right, he should be on the Niners. Boy, those are some blown picks there. I feel bad for Trey Lance, but I also feel right that the weird thing of 3 weeks or so ago, like, this is bad. You shouldn't keep Jimmy G. Like, guys get hurt in this sport. What are you talking about? They shouldn't keep Jimmy G. As it happens, go ask the Cowboys, although I guess Cooper Rush won a game in Dak's stead. But yes, it's good to have a good backup. The nonsense that at that point in the season, they should have just cut him loose and eaten the money. Very weird. So,
so
I feel
on that
wise
point,
about that. Are you taking them though? Or are you taking the Niners to win the division?
I do. Well, I do think they win that division, and I am taking them at Denver. Boy, a lot of trouble moving the football in Denver. Maybe Russell Hustle Bustle wasn't the answer to all that ails them. I like the Niners in that game. And then this – it's nuts. I know the home road thing. The Colts – I mean, Matt Ryan has reached the end of the line. Like, it's nuts – that the Chiefs are only giving 6.5. How is that a one score game? That Chiefs line seems super low and super easy money. You load the box and try to snuff out Jonathan Taylor and talk about Mac Jones's floaters. Good Lord, Matt Ryan looks terrible. So I love the Chiefs giving only
that's
six
weird. And I'm tempted to throw the red challenge flag at that one. Week three, Sal and I were going back and forth about this on extra points. I say week one is amateur hour for wagering. You know, who knows, really? I mean, with preseason and all the buzz and the narratives that we fed into or that we pushed away, who really knows? And you get a look at these teams, and now you have a little bit better sense. But we don't really know everything after just 2 weeks' worth of evidence. Week three, in my mind, is the craziest week of results. That what we've decided, because we've watched a fortnight's worth of these guys, now we think we have it all figured out, and that's when it gets blown up. The Colts have a great roster. I get the Matt Ryan concern. The Chiefs look good, but I think the Colts plus 6.5 is legit intriguing there. And I don't know if it's going to be my pup of the week on extra points that the Colts are going to win the game outright. But keep in mind, I know, like I say, that Thursday night game in Arrowhead now feels like it happened a month and a half ago based on everything that's happened since then. But just keep in mind, Patrick Mahomes threw that game away a couple of times at least. The results were better for him but than they were for Joe Burrow in week one. But there were some similarities there. I could see the Colts taking this game. And you know what? I will throw it. I'm going to go Colts plus 6.5 here.
Okay. Well, just bear in mind, they have played 8 terrible quarters with no discernible. I mean, like, I don't like they this great roster has not shown up as yet. You know what your week one to week two thing reminds me of, Chuck? Forrest Whitaker in The Color of Money. Right. Week one, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, man. What is plus 3.5 even mean? What's a point spread? I don't know. And then you suckered us all in. We're like, hey, man, we're playing poker with a greenard. And and then suddenly you go 12-3 or 13-2 and have all our money. Like that was an unbelievable rope-a-dope. Week one, you're like, hey, man, week one, that's amateur hour. And then week two, you just came off the ropes, Rumble in the Jungle style, and destroyed everything in your path.
Thank you. It's good grifting requires perfect timing. You can't show your hand too soon. I don't know. Maybe we'll look back and say week two was too early there. I as I always say, I'm like Neo or Neo's girlfriend in The Matrix. I don't know the information. I don't know how to fly a helicopter.
Well,
at
we
the
know
start
which,
of the season.
We know which one you throw a football like.
I mean, that's a cheap shot, and you know, and you know that Damashek's shortcomings.
We know which.
But my shortcoming, so you're comparing me to Johnny Utah, accepted.
Exactly.
Listen, you know that my shortcoming athletically is the foot speed. I got the savvy. I the intangibles, they're all there. And you know this is a rocket attached to my left shoulder. It's just the foot speed. I'm a step or three behind everybody at all times. That's all. That's the only reason I'm not playing professional sports. Also, my mother wouldn't let me play football. Who knows how far I could have gone in gridiron with that. Do you agree with me, Hench? You're not going to push back at me at all in what is, in terms of brands and 21st century interdivisional rivalry that's been pretty good over the last 20 years, Ravens and Patriots. This one to me feels like the Ravens all day. I'm not sure exactly. I guess you could get excited about watching New England grind out the Steelers defense over the last 6 minutes legitimately. And that is their strength. That's what they're wired to do. But against the Ravens, after letting that one go at home, I got to assume Baltimore is going to take it to them pretty good. I like them by a touchdown at least. How say you?
Totally agree. Sadly, some of my buddies are trying to make the argument. If you look, suddenly the week one performance by the Patriots defense looks pretty good, 20 points against the Dolphins versus, the pinball machine that the score that they ran up against the Ravens. That said, you look at weapons like Bateman looks like the real deal. Like that guy, speed you can see. And obviously Lamar still pulling away from defenses on the ground is nuts. So, yeah, I don't see any way the Patriots hang with the Ravens with a pretty small number there. And it is an incredible rivalry. And I was just thinking about all the nutty playoff games they've played. But, you know, when the Patriots were down, they overcame those two 14-point deficits in the one game against the Ravens. You know, the Edelman pass to Amendola. But the Patriots did that wild thing that Belichick learned from Saban, where it's like unbalanced line. Number 75 is eligible. You just everybody, like, now you've got a safety is covering your tackle because he's eligible, which means a slow guy has to cover Shane Vereen on the other side of the line. Like, it was such a talk about the Matrix. It was like, you know, Harbaugh didn't know what was going on. Harbaugh got a 15-yard penalty for protesting that Belichick was even doing it. It's like never been seen in competition again. Like, well, I don't understand. Like, wouldn't somebody trot this out? Like, just, you know, crazy unbalanced line, you know, right tackle now eligible, rotate your fast guys over to the other, you know, it destroyed the Ravens. They had no idea who to cover. And the Patriots just marched down the field, erasing the second 14-point deficit. And so I was like, oh, we're going to see variations on this, kind of like the Wildcat. Like, at least the Wildcat had to fail for a while before teams moved away from the Wildcat. But that was a one and done, that diabolical chemistry experiment.
True. It's funny you say all the big moments in the postseason specifically between these two teams. The thing to the credit of Harbaugh and the Ravens is that the Patriots dynasty for 20 some years, the Broncos got over on them in the playoffs. The Steelers obviously never did. Broncos beat them twice, if memory serves. Jake Plummer even beat them in that one. And the big play there was the pick six. Champ Bailey, no, got it down to the one. And really, it should have been Patriots ball on that one. That really should have been, right? Champ Bailey runs it down the sideline and Ben Watson tracks him down. And really, it should have been ball out of the end zone, Patriots ball at the 20. And if they get that call right, the Patriots go to the Super Bowl again. And you take away a ring, I think, you take away the Steelers 2005 Super Bowl.
Also,
40
a horrible, ring. Horrible pass interference penalty on Asante Samuel that jump started the Broncos in that game.
But what I was going to say is, and then Peyton beats him in that weird game. A few years back, 2015, but the Ravens didn't beat they whipped the Patriots twice in the playoffs. Nobody's ever done that. No Super Bowl, no anything. They destroyed the Patriots twice.
And Billy Cundiff misses a chip shot. You know, that, I mean, Lee Evans has that ball when it's punched out. That would have been, there definitely, that was the nemesis. It's crazy that the Patriots eked out the wins they did against the Ravens because they were usually getting whipped in those games. And I think we agree this will be a resumption of Raven dominance on Sunday.
And by the way, Bungles 0-2. I don't think they're irrelevant the rest of the way, but I don't think they're going to get over on the Ravens and take the division. Pittsburgh and Cleveland. This is the Ravens division. They blew it on Sunday, but I think that they remain the class of the AFC North. Let me give you three totals that I like this weekend. Buffalo and Miami, little surprised almost, and maybe they're trying to bait me into saying exactly what I'm about to say. The total on this one is 53. Doesn't that feel low to you, given what the Bills have done to everybody and what the way Miami looks? 53 is the total. I think you got to go over on that one, right?
Well, you know, it's wild. Like, you know, watching the Monday night games, you know, where you look at all the, like, the Josh Allen overs. You're like, well, everything went over, right? Well, oddly, no. I think he was 26 and a half completions and ended up with 26. But so, it, you know, I actually like the 5.5. That's the part. I think, you know, we were texting, like, are the Bills going to be the 2007 Patriots where Vegas cannot move the line enough, right? Like, Vegas cannot keep up. But I will say, you know, the Bills – I mean, that was a rough game to watch in terms of every fifth play. It felt like the cart was coming onto the field. Like, it was rough. Like, that was – so I feel like if the Bills are not going to cover 1 week, it, you know, even though the game itself was a cakewalk, it was physical. They are on a short week. The Dolphins have got to be flying high. And so wherever that number comes in, I like all that lumber that the Dolphins are getting at home.
All right. That one intrigues me. I hear what you're saying. I don't know with the injuries, like you say, with the Bills on the back end against the speed that the Dolphins are going to go out there. Dolphins win that one. Now we're really loose with the it team of 2022 with Tua. I'm regretful that I wasn't in on that in August. I'm jumping in. I jumped in, though, between weeks one and two. So I guess I got there a little earlier than some people did, and I did take the Dolphins plus the 3.5 in Charm City. Couple other totals. Jacksonville and the Chargers. I guess we don't know what's going on exactly with Herbert, but it sounds like he's going to play. Either way, two good defenses. I know Trevor Lawrence is the story in the QB league, but it's the Jacksonville defense I like. Same goes for the Chargers with or without Justin Herbert. Under 48 there. And then Atlanta and Seattle, two bum teams that have big playmakers. I'm going over the 42 there. You see Drake London breaking out, DK Metcalf, and otherwise on the Seahawks side of things. As I say, that's going to combine for 43 or more in that one. How say you, Hench?
Well, I love that Jags Bolts under. I think, you know, you mentioned it, you alluded to it. It's 17-7 Bolts in KC when Mahomes hits Samuel in the chest. I mean, he is alone in space. He gets hit between the numbers. He gacks it. And then almost gets his hands under it, like very close to getting, you know, they overruled it. By the way, he did the, if I just celebrate hard enough, maybe they won't review it. Like, I'm just going to celebrate like I just won the Super Bowl. But and then he drops another pick in the end zone where he gets hit in the chest. I've never seen a guy celebrate so much when all he did in the game was drop interceptions. Then Mahomes throws two other interceptions that both get overruled by semi-chicken penalties. To your point, Mahomes could have had four picks in that game. The Chargers defense is good. We saw what the Jags defense did against the Colts. That number's way too high. I love that. Let's maybe bring it on home. I don't know. You're the boss. You tell to bring it on home whenever you want. But I also like, even though the numbers are getting lower and lower, I do like Steelers-Browns under 38.5. Like, I just think The Steelers combination of having a pretty stout defense and a pretty crappy offense, it's hard to see how they or the other team scores a lot of points.
I'm with you. I just want to say, to finish off my best bets of NFL Week 3, Vikings lay the 6. I think they bounce back in a big way. Bears in your bum matchup of the week are hosting the Texans. The Bears are a tick better than I figured they'd be. I say you can comfortably assume that they're going to take down the Texans. Little overhyped. Because they're not abject garbage, people are a little over their skis about this team. Lovie Smith goes back to Chicago, and he loses by 3.
Can I hop in on that one? Yes. One? I vehemently disagree with you. Right now, Justin Fields right now has only attempted 28 passes in the first two games. He's on pace. Not that's going to happen in a 17-game season. But if he continued on this pace, he would not eclipse 2,000 passing yards this year. He'd be at 1,600. I think that this is a...
That'd be great if he did that in 17 games.
This also feeds into, like, no Ohio State quarterbacks really transfer to the NFL. And then I know they hired Eberflus, defensive mind guys, head coach. Like, I would not be shocked if this is like a Cardinals, you know, when they drafted Josh Rosen and then they go, nah, this is how the guy, let's take Kyler. I think the Bears are like slowly turning to that territory of like, we'll just move on to the new guy, like with the new regime here. And I do think the Texans, like, they do have Damian Pierce, who's going to be one of the better young running backs in the league. They're transitioning to him. I still think they have some talent. I don't think Davis Mills is as bad as people think. They have Brandon Cooks as a solid number one. I think the Bears are just bereft of talent. And the worst thing they're doing is they're only running the ball. They're so one-dimensional. They could be stopped. So I like the Texans getting 2.5.
Well, they do have, I do like that front that the Bears are throwing out there now, and they should be able to make hay with their two-headed monster at running back. Go ahead there.
It's just as interesting to Spaghetti's point. Montgomery averages 8 yards a carry in that game against the Packers, and that's supposed to create opportunities in the passing game. Like, he, you know, has 122 yards on 15 carries, and it was as if it created no advantage for Fields, you know. I mean, and these Mooney owners are like, what is going on? I'm in a super flex league where I'm going to have to bite the bullet and start Daniel Jones in that Justin Fields slot because he doesn't throw the ball. Seems like hard to win in the modern NFL with the 3 yards in a cloud of dust, or even 8 yards in a cloud of dust.
You know who you should pick up? Kenny Pickett, because the people on the banks of the Three Rivers have seen enough of Matt Canada and Mitchell Trubisky. They want to see the kid in there. I do, too. The problem is, as I keep saying to everybody, is if they lose, if you see Pickett, that is because Trubisky stunk on Thursday Night Football. Hench, get into the crystal ball and tell us what goes on in Cleveland on Thursday night.
I just don't. I mean, it's funny. Maybe I'm being too hard on Brissett because he had a nice game, and it obviously wasn't the offense's fault that they lost that game. But that just seems like too big a number for Brissett to have to cover. So I'm
it's already happened, Hench, in our world. If the game's already been played, talk about it.
Well, because we're getting on it early this week, so I feel like the game has not happened, but we'll see. But I feel like the Steelers hung around, kept it close. I'm going with what I did last week. I'm saying the underdog loses but beats the number again this week. Although, I mean, it's funny, in all the craziness, I don't think we've seen the Ahmad Bradshaw scoring a touchdown when you shouldn't score a touchdown, result in a lot like that. That feels like this is now the cautionary tale, right? The Nick Chubb touchdown. Now you can actually go, it does happen, you know, and every fantasy owner, it's like, you're going to lose your mind if Chubb takes a knee at the one. And obviously nobody thought, who cares, right? You're up 13. Let's talk about Tyreek Hill. How does Corey Davis get 40 yards behind the defense when all you have to do is throw the umbrella out there? That was insane. Recovered onside kick. Garrett Wilson, we do know receivers from Ohio State make quite an impact in the NFL. Garrett Wilson's going to be starting on my fantasy team very soon.
Love the Browns losing like that. It's an undercovered aspect of it. It was Joe Flacco. The Baltimore Purples get you again, Cleveland. That's your team. That was supposed to be your world champion with Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden and everybody else. Baltimore stole it.
The other thing that's been nuts about this year, the other thing that's been crazy about this year is, like, obviously my favorite thing to do is just rant and rave about the officiating. And I kind of feel like I haven't been given that. I was kind of going through in my mind the first 2 weeks, like, I haven't really been given great opportunities. The coaching has been so much worse than the officiating. Would you agree? In the first 2 weeks, a lot more egregious coaching moves than officiating moves. Some chicken calls on a 6.5 yard downfield illegal contact on third and a mile, but for the most part, pretty good. Except I would say the only team that won a game they should have lost, the Browns, week one. I don't know how you throw that roughing the passer flag there at the end of the game to cost the Panthers that game. So the Brownies could easily be 0-2 if the kid doesn't hit the bomb from 58 yards or the refs don't call the roughing penalty. So that might not be a very good team.
Well, the most noteworthy exception, there's a terrible call in the Steelers-Bengals game when Ja'Marr Chase literally is at the goal line and the Stills prove he was in the end zone and the refs don't catch it, but that's ultimately on Zach Taylor and that coaching staff, isn't it? That nobody is around to say, hey, coach, number one is in the end zone. You can see it there. So ultimately I put it on that. The worst officiating so far is last week's Thursday night game. You also leave out 10-0. They get the interception there towards the end of the second quarter that then turns into a touchdown. How that game plays out if they go into the locker room with a zero at home. I don't know that the Chiefs rally there. But anyway, Amazon, I see some people saying that the screen breaks up for them. Spaghetti, is that how you saw the Steelers at Browns on Thursday night?
When I saw Steelers or Browns, I saw that, you know, the Browns continued to do really well on the ground. Nick Chubb, who is second in the league in rushing, continues his great pace. He's first in the league in touchdown rushings. And I know, Check, in the offseason, you thought that Mitch Trubisky could have been okay because of his pedigree. I still thought the better idea was to put in Kenny Pickett and pull what the Patriots did with Mac Jones, because I think you have the talented enough receiving core. Fryer with the tight end is a solid option, so you have some pass catchers there. And it's really not getting Najee going, and I'm afraid that's what happens again in this game. So that's why the Browns won that one. And Steelers going forward may have to start Kenny Pickett.
I think that, I was as stunned as anybody was. My guy, Randy Bauman in Pittsburgh, did predict it, and he was right. I credit him for this one. Yeah, the Browns, Chubb, and Hunt made hay against the steel curtain, but shocking move. It wasn't Kenny Pickett who came into the game, as everybody expected, as Trubisky faltered for a third straight week. I can't believe they threw Mason Rudolph in there, and he hit the deep ball to George Pickens to emerge victorious from the state of Ohio, right as rain. Now, a big decision for Coach Tomlin: Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, or Kenny Pickett. I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm happy to survive that one, and the Steelers get to 2-1.
Poo-poo platter. Great choices there for the Steelers. Speaking of, like, highly touted rookie quarterbacks, the Bills defense is just circling and doing, you know, that thing of, like, pin your ears back. We're just going to force a bunch of turnovers, get a bunch of sacks, and just it's going to be the jailbreak when Vrabel goes, all right, Malik Willis, this is your time, buddy. If you're Willis, you're like, could we, like, is there a time? Like, how about when we're up? How about when we're up 21? Like, is there any, like, he just gets thrown to the wolves. Like,
I disagree with that. Sal was giving me the business about that on Extra Points, that I thought at halftime, when you're trailing to the Patriots, that's a good time to throw the rookie in there, because he can only be the hero. He can't be the GOAT when the team was losing before he went in there. I think that's the spot you do want to go into. If Malik Willis makes a couple of splashy plays, now the buzz all week is, like, let's just run with the kid. At least he's making some plays out there in our dormant offense.
No, I just think
that's a loony take.
In terms of the psyche, there are two different situations. I mean, the Bills are in full lather, rabid junkyard dogs at the point he gets put in the game. You're like, oh yeah, every guy is whipping their guy. You know, we've already lost our best offensive lineman. Like, good luck, kid. It just seemed like a formula for not moving the football. And you know, that Titans team, it's funny, we talked all summer about that division. And you know, I think we ended up thinking the Colts, just their roster was so good. But now, like, you know, we knew the Titans would backslide a little bit. Robert Woods is a nice player, but that's not AJ Brown. Like, I don't think they have the weapons. And, you know, if you watch Henry on those sweeps, like, you know, corners are bringing him down, right? Corners are blowing him up 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage. And it just looked to me like, expiration date comes at a different time for all the horses. And that just did not look like a guy that was going to have any more 220-yard games with four touchdowns. It just didn't look like it.
And keep in mind, he is the team, you know, especially with Harold Landry down for the year. And so they're not going to have the same pass rush. Their chances are Derrick Henry. And when you watch Derrick Henry two weeks in here, their goose is cooked. Their high end is 7 wins at this point. Whether
which
Vrabel
is a good transition
or not
to that game, right? Raiders at Tennessee.
That's an elimination game, right?
It is such a crazy must win in week 3. And I like the Raiders in that game, but I did. It was funny when they figured out a way to lose that Cardinals game. It's sort of like, Nathaniel Hackett certainly seems to have this going on in Denver, where you're like, I don't know what it is, where some coordinators go to the big boy chair and they're still great. They were great at that job and they're great at this job. And then obviously Josh McDaniels, it seems like one of those guys where it's like, you're great at this job, not so great at this job. So I went back to see, because I knew he had that great start in Denver. And I was like, okay, how bad has it been since the great start in Denver? I forgot that he started 6-0 in
really?
Denver.
Oh, I had no recollection that it was opening streak.
Since then, since that start, as an NFL head coach, 5-19.
Ooh.
5-19. So I do, you know, I do like the Raiders this weekend, but he better hope that he starts putting up some W's or Mark Davis, who's winning championships with his other team. His other team is hanging banners. The Aces, he may not be quite so patient with Josh McDaniels, but I like him this week against a banged up, not very good Titans team.
Yeah, pretty critical one there. Several teams playing. I mean, I don't like using the must win thing, but there are a lot of teams that gotta have it in week three, or the chances of making a playoff run are dark before we even get to the end of September. Great stuff, Kevin Hench. Happy to have you and your friend Peyton finally working together once again here on Omaha. We're all over the moon. Make sure you're heading over to Extra Points to get in the arcade. Be listening to Waiver Wired with Eddie Spaghetti and Jen Piacenti and all the other great shows on the Extra Points Network. We'll be back after the sports weekend to try and break it down and make some sense of it for you and project ahead to the next weekend of sports. Until then, thanks so much, sports fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.